To him who loves us and gave himself for our sins and has made us by his blood to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be glory, honor, praise, and dominion now and forever. Amen. God's word for our consideration is found in John chapter 6, verses 57 through 69, where Jesus said, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. There are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So far the text. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, dear Christian friends, this morning we come to the last in our series of readings from the Bread of Life chapter of the Bible, John 6. We've been spending time the past number of weeks mining golden nuggets of heavenly wisdom from this chapter, truths that the Lord Jesus provided for our instruction as his people, through which he wants to fill our lives with joy and hope in a world of sin in which our lives frequently are touched by various sorrows and trials. 3 weeks ago, we considered verses that reminded us, some of you will remember, about the quest that everyone has for happiness and meaning for their lives, and how there are some, sadly, who look in wrong places. But then also what the true source of happiness is for our lives. Actually, it's not a what, it's a who. The who is Jesus, who in this chapter ascribed this name to himself, the bread of life. He's the one, the only one, who can provide us with the comfort and the nourishment we need to stay spiritually strong and energized through the duration of our Christian walk in the world. So today then we come to that final reading in our series, which records the aftermath of Jesus' Bread of Life discourse. And we've taken as our theme the very same one we had 3 weeks ago: the bread that gives life. But we're going to mine other nuggets from this text, considering how this message of Jesus, the bread of life, is one, sadly, that is a cause of stumbling to some, but which is a source of blessed assurance to countless others. So let's zoom back in time then, join up with Jesus on the day following his feeding of the 5,000 miracle. And you'll recall how some members of that crowd had gone on, as I said, a quest to locate Jesus, hoping to persuade him finally to become their bread king in an earthly sense. He, however, had declined their offer and instead tried to help them recognize that he was their heavenly bread provider for their souls. He said, "I'm the living bread," verse 51. "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread I give for the life of the world is my flesh." And that utterance of Jesus had thrown them for a loop, not understanding that he was talking in spiritual terms of ingesting him by faith as their savior from sin, death, and hell. They had responded with incredulity, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And that brings us to our text, where Jesus then reiterated and doubled down on his previous statement, once again in loving concern for their souls, in an attempt to help them understand he had so much more to give them than food for their stomachs and passing pleasures in a world that will last only for X number of years. He said in our text, "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate in the Sinai desert and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Then their action, we read in our text from verse 60, was, "That's a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And they began to grumble among themselves and say, "That's not what we were hoping to hear from Jesus of Nazareth. Apparently, he claims to be a Messiah who descended from heaven to give us his flesh to eat, whatever that means." The spiritual meaning of his words just flew right over their heads. They didn't grasp that he was talking about providing bread for their innermost souls by his life-giving word that nourishes and supports repentant sinners throughout this life and then forever after in heaven. And the end result, again, sadly, of the encounter John informs us about in our text in verse 66, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." So when he didn't pan out to be the earthly benefactor that they were hoping for, they made a decision to stop following him and to go back to the lives and to the lifestyles they'd been living before they met him. The word John records in the Greek language when Jesus asked them to, he said, "Do you take offense at this?" I want to spend just a minute or two on that word. It's a very descriptive one in the Greek. It's the word scandalizo. We get our English word scandal from it, but it means differently what we normally think by the word scandal or someone being scandalized. No, it means in the Greek to have a stumbling block put in your path over which you trip and fall. And the noun form, skandalon, refers to the movable trigger or the trigger of a trap or stick, like the little lever piece on a mouse trap that causes the device to clap shut when it's moved by the little rodent. Some other verses that use this word, skandalizo, three of them I wanted to mention, give you a good understanding, kind of the flavor of that word, what it really means spiritually. Remember Jesus' parable of the sower, when he spoke of the farmer who went out to sow seed in his field and it fell on four kinds of soil as an illustration of the different ways that the word of God can be received when sown into hearts. And Jesus said, the seed that fell on the stony ground are the ones who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy initially, but they have no root in themselves, but endure for only a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, when they discover it involves cross-bearing and taking the world's incoming missiles of animosity and ridicule, they fall away. And the word fall away there is that they get scandalized, they stumble, and they do not listen or accept the word of the Lord. Another example is the account of Jesus preaching the word in his hometown of Nazareth, where he informed his hometown acquaintances that he was their Messiah, come from heaven in love to serve them, to rescue them from their sin guilt and bring them life everlasting. And we read there in Matthew 13 that they took offense at him, that they were scandalized and they stumbled over that message. And one other example, when bold, brash Peter promised to stick with Jesus through thick and thin, even if everyone else abandoned him, he used the same word in his statement. He said, though they all fall away, though everyone else stumbles, is scandalized, so to speak, because of you, Jesus, I'll never stumble. That's in Matthew chapter 26. So it's a sad truth, friends. You know, the words of Jesus, they do meet still today with disinterest, don't they? Skepticism and plain unbelief. We are living in a world and in an environment where the gospel of Christ crucified, God's Son dying on a cross, offering his body and shedding his blood for sinners and promising all who put their trust in him the gift of life eternal, that's too much to hear. I can't listen to that. It's ludicrous and ridiculous. They become, these words of Jesus, a scandalon, a cause of stumbling for some. In view of that, we ever want to, as the Lord's children, we want to pray the Lord enable us to hold fast to him with hearts of faith and help us to sing and say, I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, never let me fall, stumble, for I am trusting thee forever and for all. And that's a prayer we know that he answers, as we also learn from our text. After many would-be disciple followers of his turned back and walked with him no more, he then, as we read, turned to the close circle of the 12 disciples and asked them, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter then answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And that is a beautiful example of what Jesus said earlier in our text in verse 63. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. So the Holy Spirit, he does use, and still does today, he uses the gospel message considered by some to be ludicrous to instill and engender and preserve childlike trust in countless hearts. Faith that enables us to weather storms of adversity that blow into our lives and withstand those incoming missiles of the world's hostility, to keep on treasuring Jesus' words, never grow tired of listening to them, very pleasing words to our ears and very reassuring, like a breath of fresh air to our souls, affording us a living hope and filling our lives with true meaning and purpose. John 3:16 once again comes to mind. What a breath of fresh air. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Paul in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It was mentioned earlier how many of his would-be followers, on hearing that utterance about the Lord being their heavenly Messiah, they responded by saying it's a hard saying, who can listen to it? Found it kind of ironic that it's the same word in the New Testament that God the Father used in the familiar story of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain, Peter, James, and John being there, and Elijah and Moses and appeared. And when God the Father spoke from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And then what did he say? "Listen, listen to him." Same word. Pretty ironic. And countless thousands, millions ever since have done just that. You have done that by God's grace. You've listened to Jesus' words. You know he is the Holy One of God. That is the one that God set apart to serve you in love, whose death has canceled out your sin debt so that it's not on God's ledger anymore. Our robes that are stained by our inborn sinfulness and all of our breaking of his commandments have been laundered clean with the detergent of Jesus' precious blood. Our iniquities have been removed from us as far as east is from west. In short, central message of the Bible, we've been declared righteous and have become honored heirs of God's eternal kingdom. So no wonder we love to keep on listening to the Lord's word and joyfully sing and confess always from our youth, childhood, middle age, all the way till we reach the end of our life journey. "Thou art the way, to thee alone from sin and death we flee, and he who would the Father seek must seek him, Lord, by thee. Thou art the truth, thy word alone true wisdom can impart. Thou only canst inform the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life, the rending tomb of Easter proclaims thy conquering arm, and those who put their trust in thee nor death nor hell shall harm. Thou art the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joys eternal flow." Amen. "And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit